Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday. It's really 6, John, we know. It's 5 o'clock on Monday. and we are coming to you.
5 o'clock central.
5 o'clock central on Monday evening. We are coming to you from our home at Barcade, Jersey City, table one.
Did you see this? They gave us a reserved sign.
You it's are there every so week, John. Aloof. Every that week. Has been there for 18 months.
No, come on.
Swear to God.
It's got our name on it.
It always does.
No shit.
Every week.
Swear That's to cool. God. John. It's here when we're not here. There's been days we didn't come and it was here for us.
They reserved this table always.
All right, so who's in Philip's seat? Justin? Hi, Justin. Yeah. Thank How's you for joining us, sir. And we actually, here's funny, talk about regional and territorial. We are sitting with the person from the brewery closest to Barcade, Jersey City. Brian Kulbaki of Departed Souls, S-O-L-E-S, not S-O-U-L-S. That doesn't play on radio as well as it does in the logoing. The logo makes sense. Wait, I'm sipping that.
I'm trying to write what's on the can.
Oh, it just
I'm
says Nuggy Monster.
Right now.
I'm taking a sip of one of Brian Kulbaki's beers. Up in a cool happy hours, what do they call these things?
Koozie.
A happy hour guy koozie on my Brian Kulbaki Departed Souls Nuggy Monster that I just stole from Hall. All right, cool. A lot of wine tones in that. What are the hops in that?
All nugget hops.
We are just right off the bat with the wine.
Well, that's the first time I tried it. He made it a while ago. I've been trying to get to it. I don't see Brian near as much as I do, but I do see you a lot. Let's talk about your quick history as New Jersey's brewer. Do you know what number you were in the 60 breweries we have now? You're probably somewhere in the low 20s?
I would probably say mid-20s.
Get closer to the mic so they can hear you say it.
I'd probably say mid-20s.
Mid-20s?
That'd be
I think that makes sense.
Number like 3 in people's hearts, maybe.
That's number. Yeah. I would put you in the top 19.
Oh, thank you.
So when did you officially open? We were intimate with you. You spent time at my brewery before you opened. I've known you much longer than you've had a brewery. So how long have you had a brewery?
I brewed the first beer on Memorial Day of 20.
Get so much closer to the mic.
Put your lips right against the pop screen.
This is going to get romantic over
that's
here.
That's it. Yeah, no, get intimate. That's it.
Oh, you like that better?
I like it. It's dulcet.
Memorial Day of 2015, we brewed the first beer, distributed the first beer June 16th of 2015, and opened our tasting room October 10th of 2015.
So we are between the year anniversary of selling beer and the year anniversary of selling beer on premise.
Precisely.
Right on. So right in that sweet spot where everything is truly, truly stressful.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
No gray hairs yet that I've noticed or people have told me about. But
I can see one in your beard from here.
Oh, well, that's the beard's got to get trimmed then. That's fixable.
All right.
You need some Just for Beard.
Am I coming through on the mic?
I am eyeing up that chiropractor closer. Across the street, though. That'll be a visit.
So you're still pretty much alone, right? What size is your system? You're a 10-barrel system?
7-barrel brew house, 4 15-barrel fermenters, 15-barrel Bright, our own canning line.
Own canning line. Who makes it?
We have a cask Sam system, little portable guy.
All right.
But it gets the job done, 3-head filler.
Nice, nice, cool. Beer tastes sound, doesn't taste oxidized. That's all you really want from a can. Yeah,
Done. Good seals. Seems to be working. They typically move out of them 2 to 3 weeks after releasing them.
Right on.
Departed Souls, Augie already said S-O-L-E-S. Give us the reason
it still
that
is
your
morbid
brewery
as you think.
Is spelled
It's just
way.
As morbid as you think. It's just not directly
right,
as
no, morbid. But I'm asking for the story for people who don't know.
So Departed Souls was originally the harebrained scheme of my best friend and I. He was diagnosed with celiac disease when I started homebrewing, right at the very beginning. He and I also had a propensity for purchasing ridiculous sneakers, as Augie kind of knows.
Yep. You and I have bought sneakers alongside each other. You've helped me source sneakers I'd missed.
And
true. It's a fact.
And so he sort of inspired the couple gluten-free beers that we do, one of which just won the bronze medal at the World Beer Cup.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, before the brewery started, he passed away, and somebody suggested the name Departed Souls, S-O-U-L-S, to me as sort of an homage to him.
And that would be too morbid.
That was
so,
just, that was
so
just too dark.
Before you ripped our guts out with the story of the dead friend, you first introduced us to his love of sneakers to humanize him.
Exactly.
I love
exactly.
it. It's genius.
S-O-U-L-S would have worked out, though, because...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Why?
Because
there's
a
joke in his head I don't get.
Well, because I also worked at a funeral home before.
Oh, that's
before
right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Like your parents own a funeral home.
They
right?
do.
So, that's right.
They do.
That's cool. I grew up with a kid whose parents owned a funeral home. We used to play hide and seek in the coffins.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
It's kind of creepy. I lived there for 3 years.
Only 3 years?
Yeah. To spare on cost, we all had our own coffin.
That's clearly the way to go.
They resold it to fans.
Was it,
no,
like,
they
was
did not.
Was it like your formative years, like when you first started dating and like would have the girls over to like in the early days before Netflix and chill? Like,
it was
like back then.
Coffin visit.
I feel like
chill.
It was a giant. It was yeah. a giant red flag when you met a girl, and the first thing she said was, "Can we go to the funeral home?"
Wow, right. Were we into different yeah. chicks?
Or
that
yeah.
would have had me hook, line, and sinker.
Or you'd meet
you
the girl, and it's
me?
Like, "Oh, yeah, my grandfather's wake was at your house."
Oh yeah, 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 that happened. Yeah, that
I
happened
was definitely
quite
a fan
often.
Of the brunette Heather in yeah. the movies Heathers, and I definitely would have.
We actually, I have a friend in Hoboken, and we were out to drinks probably like 2-3 months ago, and met her friend, and her friend goes, "Which funeral home?" Because there's two funeral homes on the street
right,
and,
right across the street from each other.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell her, and she goes, "Oh my god, the guy that owns that place is such an asshole."
Oh my god.
I was like, "Oh, that's my dad." And just to see her face drop was about the most priceless thing. And I didn't pay for a drink the rest of the night. She felt
okay.
that bad.
Wow. So why did she think your dad's an asshole?
My dad was very much similar to me. He worked by himself for you know, 10, 20 years. Well, not by himself that long, but...
well, no, there's,
you know,
always, there's always a couple of extra bodies
yeah,
around.
You know.
Oh,
so he's
boy.
Very
oh, Jesus. God, no.
Come for the
really?
Beer, stay
we've
for
become,
the jokes.
We've become that show.
We're not even talking
boy.
About beer.
Oh,
yeah.
No, keep going.
you know, but he's very passionate about what he does. Very attention to detail oriented. And, you know, I think that sometimes rubs some people the wrong way when he knows certain things have to be done a certain way to achieve.
All right. So I've met your dad
yes,
before.
You have.
And
I've tried
and
to save you.
No. I enjoy talking with him. And he actually had a business practice that you incorporated into the brewery now, and now has made it onto some of your cans as well.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I would urge people that if you're visiting Departed Souls in Jersey City, it's easy to pay with credit card. But you should probably pay with cash.
You get a $2 bill as you change, you know? I think the only other place you could do that these days is, like, probably strip clubs. So,
Of course, Augie's no,
right
out
here
his
wand. On my pocket, $2 bills. Who doesn't carry $2 bills? It's the best tip there is.
It's a great tip. People remember you.
You don't carry $2 bills?
I don't carry cash.
Oh. You're such a millennial.
It's true. He's a Bank of America credit card holder, I believe.
No. But I'm very much the journalist, and cash is hard to come by.
I'm right there with the
guy. The guy sitting in Justin's seat knows all about what I'm talking about.
Who's in Justin's seat?
I don't know. Whoever
Christian.
My
name is Philip.
Timothy.
Philip.
Did I go with Philip tonight? All right. So now you're open a year. Now when you say. You do right. gluten-free beers. Are you doing the entire clean out that makes that possible? Are you doing what's that enzyme you can clarify with that degluten's?
There's Clarex, there's one other one, but no, we don't use that. We have two beers that are gluten-free, For My Homie and A Dark Night. And they are brewed with 100% gluten-free ingredients. They all get a fresh gluten-free yeast every time we brew them. They're in they're fermented in dedicated gluten-free fermenters. And actually, even in our canning line, we have switched out our canning line so that we can fill both 16 and 12-ounce cans. All the gluten-free beers go in 12-ounce cans. They run through their own lines, their own fill heads. It's a complete switch out every time we can, but it creates that comfortable product differentiation we want on bar shelves and liquor stores and all that.
And you need to for also your consumer base as well. Because, I mean, even trace amounts can, if somebody thinks that they're getting something gluten-free and it's celiac, maybe it's not like the diet reasons, but if it's celiac, that could seriously screw somebody up.
Oh, absolutely. You know, somebody asked me, you know, are you offended by people that drink your gluten-free beer because they're on the diet? And I'm like, no.
No, it's money.
No, why would that offend anybody?
Yeah. Whatever makes you do it, but I like to think our gluten-free beers kind of hold their own against traditional beers as well.
So I want to follow up on the gluten-free stuff, but I know that we have stuff in our glass.
We do have stuff in our black glass.
You say why we come together.
Well, it facilitates our candid discussion of beer and what it is and it is and isn't. The black glass drinking. John and I have black glasses in front of us. Neither of us can see them. We don't know what color the beer is or anything beyond that it's in a beer, in a glass, and it tastes like beer.
In a clean glass.
Justin, you poured it?
We did.
That's good. So you know what it is.
Yeah. Clean glasses.
And Brian, you brought it?
Rinse and everything.
I did.
And this is a good rinse this time?
Not
that shitty rinse?
This is not a Departed Souls beer.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It can't be Brian, so there's no skin in the game if we hate it. Speaking of hating it, what do you think, John Hall? See that setup I just did?
I don't hate it.
John Hall didn't hate it, so somebody has to drink.
It's Hefeweizen-esque.
Yeah, it tastes to me like a warm ferment of a non-hef yeast.
Yeah.
It's definitely very phenolic. I feel like it drifted up. But it doesn't have the spiciness I would associate with a Saison or a Belgian
clove,
or a German.
But I do get a little bit of the banana, there's a little bit of a thicker mouthfeel.
Fruitiness to it.
There's definitely fruitiness to it.
Yeah. To the yeast. The beer itself is playing. It's the banana's kind of winning, right? That yeast phenolic is definitely the predominant.
Banana.
I mean, it's the predominant flavor of the beer.
Right. That's why I'm saying Hefeweizen-esque.
Body-wise, it's a little sweet. Thin but sweet. It's like dressed up by the yeast. If it's very low ABV, I think it's probably a cool beer because there's a lot of flavors going on. If it's in that 6 range, I don't know that it's offering me enough.
There's something on the very back end of it. If you take the sip and you kind of, I was just doing the thing. There's it's either slight oxidation or something. I'm trying it again.
What do you get on the nose? There's something kind of light green and watery on the nose.
Yeah, it's almost oxidation as well. It's not vegetal, but it is. There's a.
I remember your vegetal phase.
I still have my vegetal phase. I'm susceptible to it.
Yep. Yeah. So where am I drinking this? It's a breakfast beer.
Sure.
Right. This is a mimosa.
Oh, you're mixing
replacement.
This with
no, it's a replacement, right? It's an eggs beer. It's early morning. Say somebody I love is visiting. We were drinking all night. We need a beer to wake up, take the edge off a hangover. Remember that Massachusetts double IPA we had on the Jimmy Lovick show? The one that led you to regret
last week.
Yeah, the one that led you to regret.
Yeah.
This would be a good morning after that. Take the edge
show.
Off a hangover beer. Because the sweetness is, to me, it's the sweetness and the sweetness of the esters that win this beer. And that makes it feel morning to me. Does that make sense?
Sure.
I think it's also highly carbonated. I get some high carbonation in there.
You got to remember, though, when you give me the stem glass, I swirl a lot, so I may have broken out.
No, even when we first poured, this wasn't highly carbonated to me. This actually almost falls on the flat end of things towards the end of it. For me,
I would say neither here nor there is for carbonation.
All right,
I think it's appropriately carbonated to its body.
Oh, hey, Justin, before you leave, what do you think of this beer?
I'm not leaving for another 20 minutes, but
all right.
Yeah,
it's going to happen sooner than
you think.
It's
a nice beer. It's pretty easy drinking.
We're having fun, and you know what happens when you're having fun.
You lose track of time.
It flies by.
Time sure flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. What do you like about this beer? Use your words.
I don't like that much about it, to be honest.
Make good choices.
I'm not so into this beer.
Coming out fast.
All right. Do you know what
I think
is?
We've all said that in a different way.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, all right. So
I've had a lot of beer from this brewery, and this is probably one of the worst ones I've had.
This would be a beer, if you want to follow that train of thought now that you've said that, this would be a beer where I might have like a few left after a six-pack, and I would mix the six-pack and then bring it to somebody's house and just leave it.
I love when you reveal yourself as just a horrible person there. On the show.
Sometimes.
So this is Night Shift.
This is from Night Shift. It is a Hefeweizen. It's called Firth.
Say it again.
Firth.
Yeah.
Oh, I rolled, right? Firth.
Yeah.
Firth.
Firth.
Which is apparently a name of a town in Germany. Sure.
So they're calling Bavaria. It a German Hefeweizen.
All right. So I said
they say you
right
should get clove and orange.
So
right? I didn't get it.
Clove, banana, orange.
No, I didn't get the clove or orange off of this.
I thought it was okay. It's 5.5, so it's not
Look
super
at you
sessionable.
Reading from the phone again. I love it. You're getting us the backstory.
That's what you told me to do.
I know. I could kiss you on the mouth if it was.
Here's
that
the
kind
only
of
thing.
Show.
So I'm fine with everything they said except they called it complex, and I didn't think it was complex.
No.
Enough. It's a very straightforward, simple beer.
I will say that I really do love the Night Shift logo. So it's a hop cone cool.
the
in
hop
the shape
owl.
Of an owl. Yeah, it's. I think it's.
Oh, it looks great.
It's one of the better. I don't know who designed it, but like, I'd like to shake that person's hand.
I think because they identify this as a German wit. I think it's fine for that, but for its level of complexity, German wit. That's what they're saying. It's that's the clove. Well, that's the banana we were getting. And it makes sense, right? It's that's what the German banana yeast does. But I didn't get clover oranges. I got it as a very nice, straightforward beer.
Yeah. On your phone right now, happening.
Oh, that's
Pokemon Go.
Pokemon. Somebody has put lures at the Pokestops across the street.
What's the Pokestop across the street? Is it
there's two pieces of art across the street.
Should we go over to Bonchan?
Western Union?
No, there's two different. It's two pieces of art. It's the downtown newsstand with girl mural, and
this is how much we like this beer. We started talking about
serious.
And the
Pokemon,
Joseph Lavero Memorial. So like I said, I'm not mad at it. My problem is calling it complex. I think it's a very simple sipping beer and quite nice. And like I said, if it had that amount of flavors going on at 4%, I'd love it as a crushing German wit, right? Like. Now picture it with some schnitzel or whatever you would like, fried food or whatever you would put German wits with, and I think it's okay. So somebody has to drink. I'm not mad at it, but at 5.5, I think they could have coaxed a little more complexity out of it.
If it was 4.5, it would be pretty awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's what I said when we were before we knew what it was.
Yeah,
that amount of flavor in a 4% beer would have been remarkable. That amount of flavor in a 5.5% beer, I just don't think is. Complex. It's pretty. It's fun. It's dancing. It's nice and light and sweet and fun to drink, like I said. But yeah, I would definitely have one or two of those for breakfast. What's a proper German breakfast? What's a proper gluten-free German breakfast?
I don't think Germans do gluten-free. Even if they have celiacs, they just don't do
it. They just eat their way through it.
That's just frowned upon. I would like this beer if I was taking the ferry home on a nice hot day. I could have one or two of these beers on that ferry ride.
You're saying this is a boat beer?
No, I said it's a ferry beer. Very different.
You know, this brewery is like very close to Boston, so ferry has a different meaning. So like, we should just probably move on. And
I mean, if you're going up to Boston to get that double IPA you were talking about before, you could then get this in Chase.
Yeah, that's true. But that was Western Mass. Yeah. Western Mass, or however they say it up there. I love when they do that.
Worcester.
So let's get back to it. I'm gonna have a sip of your Nuggy Monster.
Oh, boy.
On top of that.
That's the communal can. We've all been drinking out of this can for the last...
If you have germs, I don't yet thing. Have.
All right, so...
You haven't shared yet?
Do you have Zika yet? Have you been down to Miami?
No. Okay. No, I actually just canceled a trip to Tampa.
Did you?
Yeah,
there are several bar owners from Jersey City in Miami right now for a wedding. I'm very scared about
just
doing my deliveries.
Just bringing Zika home.
Yeah, it's gonna be a rough couple weeks up here.
So how's the Jersey City thing going? Let's talk about it. So you're here in town. You have like some awesome weird bicycle contraption you deliver kegs with around town.
It's called a tricycle.
It's called a tricycle? Yeah. So you're saying it has three wheels.
It has three wheels and one very large basket.
Ah. One basket large enough for sixtals, right?
Yeah, I can get four in there, but it's not really ideal. It's got about 50-year-old wheels on it. Doesn't do the inclines very well.
If you could get six sixtals in there, that'd be a barrel.
That would be a barrel.
That would probably be a barrel tricycle.
That'd be way too much, and I cannot get that up the hills. That would just not work out well for anybody.
Dude, you'd have very defined calves, and you might be able to visit that chiropractor less.
So there are a lot of breweries that are popping up, certainly on the other side of the Hudson and then on the other side of the East River as well. But you are the only brewery in Jersey City, population 248,000 thereabouts.
$2 bill man walking past the door there.
Oh, yeah? Is that your dad?
I think so.
Is it really?
Oh, hopefully. Is that your? Oh, that is your dad. He's coming in to take a picture of you on the podcast.
Oh,
did you
lovely.
Tell your dad?
No, I didn't. That's scary.
No, come on.
I
bullshit.
Literally talked to him on the phone like 20 minutes ago,
and you were
and
like,
they
"Hey,
were
I'm
going to
be at Barcade."
I definitely called
oh,
the house line.
Oh, let's get them on the air. Justin's
oh,
leaving.
Oh,
we'll get
you
them.
Are
we'll
a
get
disaster
them.
Waiting. Someone can take my mic. So everybody move them to beer level 4.
No. This is how it's all done and done properly.
Oh boy.
But what are some of the challenges of having a brewery? Inside, because you're not only in Jersey City, but you're in a high-rise building as well. You share lobby space with a craft gelato.
Oh yeah, Buckingham
so
Bay Gelateria.
Meaningless, but yeah, I mean, so what are some of the challenges that you face here?
You know, we got pretty lucky in terms of our building because our building was historically zoned for food and beverage manufacturing, so we got lucky in that regards, but. You know, being in downtown is sort of a double-edged sword. You have access to so many more people than most breweries do that open up in industrial parks. But by the same token, we're competing with all these, you know, phenomenal restaurants and bars for people's dollars and attention. And so that's kind of hard to do. And especially up here where Budweiser is so strong with the distributor right down the street. And
your dad's taking a picture
of
you.
Yeah,
get on mic. Get on mic.
You know, Budweiser's so strong in here, a lot of these new bars open up and we get a draft line for a week or two, and then a distributor comes in, knocks on their door, and all of a sudden, you know, pay-to-play isn't enforced in New Jersey. So we lose that draft line pretty quickly. One thing that's been great about doing our cans, though, is now all of a sudden those bars are bringing us back in because, you know, the distributor doesn't own the cooler. And then our beer starts flying out the door, and all of a sudden we get our jack flying back.
So you're saying you've been very good for the pockets of the local restaurateurs, if nothing else.
I think we've had a pretty good impact here.
I'm just saying there's been an uptick in payouts to keep your beer off. Yay, Jersey law system.
That might be why they like me. You never know.
That's probably it.
And the tricycle. They're just like laughing
well,
at me
the
trying
tricycle's
to
pretty
for sure.
Dope. Tricycle's pretty dope. But So, hold on. Let's put that in context. There's 240,000 people in Jersey City?
Yeah.
Two of which are you and your wife?
Yes.
Okay. And how many barrels did you make last year?
Last year, maybe 30 barrels.
30? No.
Yeah, we started pretty small. We were only doing 3 or 4 barrel batches at the
so
very
So you
beginning.
Did 60 half kegs of beer last year.
Yeah, not too much.
For 240,000 people.
Yeah.
And Budweiser still needed to kick you off a draft line.
They actually sabotaged us at one bar. I don't know whether it was Budweiser specifically, but a distributor sabotaged us at one bar. They bought half of our keg in one flight. And they had all 26 people send it back. And we took that keg back. We reimbursed the bar their entire money. We, you know, whatever. But that keg went on draft in my apartment at home, and that beer was perfectly fine.
Yeah, of course.
It's the same beer that every other bar that got a six or a half barrel of it had no problem with.
That's dirty pool. Sorry you went through that. We used to find little bits of debris in our couplers in a couple bars that the local distributors were particularly stung by.
Nice.
You know, just things to make it foam and do things like that. I learned that in about 3 steps and learned to solve it. And I knew the bars they were most angry about and which distributor it was. So we just stayed ahead of it. And I would have a guy there at 8 a.m. every morning after their weekly visit cleaning out the shit they put in our taps. But you got to fight
Jersey.
Through that stuff, right?
It's Jersey,
that's
right?
Jersey. That's it's a tough town. It's a tough town.
Good for you, though. I'm glad you made it through that. That sucks. I'm sorry that happened. That's
we're trucking along,
some,
though.
That
we're
is some, at, nook, that is some Nookie already, Thompson so. Shit right there. Yeah?
Yeah, we're brewing at capacity already. We're working on adding a barrel aging program very, very slowly, very, very small. You know, it's sort of as a one-man shop. You know, I do all the brewing. I do all the selling, distributing, catching the Pokemon in the parking lot. I do all that myself, and so...
I love that you just pretended you were a parking lot.
Is,
I caught that.
Yeah. everything is basically grow within our means right now. Yeah, even though we had the canning line from day one, we didn't get it operational until April this year. And it's just
so what
a
have you canned so far?
Comfortable doing
what
it.
What have you canned so far? What could people be finding from you?
We started with Deuces, the $2 bill reference double IPA that we put out there. We followed that up with our gluten-free IPA and our gluten-free black IPA have been in cans. The Noogie Monster, which you guys are enjoying, as well as Modern Cup of Soul, which is a local collaboration beer we did with a local coffee roastery.
That's a fun beer.
It's yeah. There's a can of it.
That's a John Hall seal of approval for those of you at home wondering.
So it's basically brewed to taste like a cold brew coffee or a black coffee. Pretty fun little beer that we brewed with them, and it turned out to be quite the hit. People get quite upset when we take it off a draft.
Stop. Before you start drinking a beer made to taste like coffee, let's talk about what's in glass two, because Brian was kind enough to bring us two beers.
Yeah, no, he was.
Second glass
in
there.
Brian, I've known you for a while now, and I think we get along, and, you know, I'd call you a friend. You'd come to my house for dinner. You know, I enjoy your beers. Why'd you bring this beer?
I
know why he brought it. You don't know why he brought
it? It'll be a little enlightenment.
You don't smell the peanut skins? This is Bones yeast for sure. I'm not sure it's marriage parfait, but it's definitely a bone goose, and there's peanut skins all over it, right?
Well,
If not, it's somebody stealing bone's yeast.
Do you not get it? I don't know what this is fermented with, to be honest. I don't know what this is brewed with. I know what it's not brewed with.
Gluten?
There's no gluten in this beer.
Oh.
And that's why you hate it, but the smell it. Smell those peanut skins?
No.
That's somebody stole Boone's yeast.
I don't get much of that at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
Somebody stole Boone's yeast. My problem is I can't figure out the body on it, which may be the gluten-free thing. But
gluten-free beers tend to lack pretty much any body.
Yeah, but that's why I'm trying to figure out. I've been running through my head in the catalog of Boone's different beers on which one they would have that would be thin.
If this is so it is gluten free, so it falls into like a, for me, quite honestly, either a generic blonde ale, or there is a bit of a like a light porter or light stoutness as well, which I know it's like I'm covering all the bases here, but that's actually one of the fun things and sort of the enigma of some of these gluten free is that when you take something out. Other flavors either become muted or other flavors become more accentuated. And it's...
Yeah, I think anybody that brews or tries to brew a gluten-free beer right now, it's still... You're really still writing the book. There is no book. There is no homebrew recipe. There's no kit you could buy.
And
anybody that does it...
I do get like a little bit of like a lavender floralness and maybe a little bit of a roastiness.
I get
off
some
of this
strawberry
well.
Notes right. on the nose, not on the palate.
No, I get almost nothing on
the
palate. The
palate's very thin. It's like a sweet water.
Yeah.
It is slightly sweet, though, which is weird to me. But the nose is definitely... all right, well, we might as well get to it because... I guess I'm drinking this with my
Justin's
friends with celiac,
go.
Right? That's my sentence?
Yeah.
I'm drinking this with my celiac friends?
Yes. And I'm watching you with your friends drink
it. Yeah, I'm not a snob like you. I would definitely get down with my celiac friends, try to make them comfortable. I would definitely want my celiac friends to be comfortable. Unlike you, John Hall.
That's not what I said.
That's what I heard. And I listened to the show this time. What is it?
It's from BrewDog, Vagabond Pale Ale, gluten-free beer.
What do they say about it?
I did not look this one
up. Do they reveal where they, stole the yeast from?
Calling this a pale ale. Nobody said anything about hops. And BrewDog just, they're about as American as Scottish brewer as you can get.
Aren't they opening a brewery in Columbus,
they
Ohio?
They are opening a brewery in Columbus, Ohio.
The label's strangely textured. It's like it should be in Braille, but it doesn't
feels really nice.
There's a lot of words on there.
A lot of words.
Did anybody read them? Did they say where they stole Bones
yeast? I didn't read it.
What's it called again?
Vagabond.
Pale Ale from BrewDog.
All right. Before we lose Justin, he should read the letter, and then we can just tail off without him. So we have a big letter.
We'll read it. No, let's save it for the next time, because that's a whole episode.
No, they're never a whole episode. They're the last 10 minutes of every episode. That's how this works. You should listen.
All right, I can't really hear myself, so I'm going to try my best to do okay here.
Brian's asleep. Attention.
He's also catching Pokemon.
Well, turn us up in Brian's ears instead of in yours. I mean, right, in Justin's ears. See what I just did? Now you're Brian.
There's too many Brians here.
Philip, Brian, Christian, Patrick.
Timmy.
It doesn't matter. All right, so this is from our good friends.
Did you guys shut the Pokestops down? It won't let me get any freaking Pokeballs.
All right, are we reading a letter or no?
Oh, right, I'm sorry.
Here? Good Lord.
This is from our favorite.
What do you guys do when I'm not here?
God damn it.
Babble.
Yeah, Jesus.
Babble uninterrupted.
We played Pokemon Go live.
Apparently.
Babble uninterrupted.
To tape to 2 weeks later. That's awesome.
57 minutes of
it's
it.
Good radio.
All right, this is from some guy called Sizer Koza.
Sizer Koza, you're saying?
Yeah.
I wonder who
he's never
written
in before.
That's my Facebook friend.
Yeah, he's friends with us on Facebook. He says, "Hey, you Garden State drunkards. I'm not from the Garden State. Everyone else here might be, but I'm not."
All right, you can tell Justin is not Garden State because he rides his fixie here.
Don't interrupt the man's brilliant words. All right? No commentary.
Let it flow.
All right, so he says,
"Don't let your hatred for Soze own it."
No, start again.
So
from the top.
We got some serious gaming going on over here, too.
It's a tabletop Pac-Man game
what
that one
hell?
Guy's playing what? And three people
Why
are cheering.
Why do we even do a letter segment?
We're in a barcade.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so again, who's this from?
Sizer Koze to us. He says, so around 5 a.m. last Sunday, I peeled myself off the floor of what I imagined had to be a repurposed crack house turned a new school hipster it's run down so it's cool apartment after a 13-hour 23-minute Wales bro bottle share from the night before.
Wait, awesome. What was the duration on the bottle share?
13 hours and 23 minutes.
Go on.
We've all done these, right?
Oh yeah.
And in my crack of dawn yeasty infused haze, I stumbled over the strewn bodies of the something paired up urban lumberjack hipsters and their Instagram model friends on my way to the bathroom to deposit my rented fun from just hours before. So we went to take a piss. When I finished doing my business, I gargled a bit of mouthwash that may or may not have been Everclear in disguise after splashing some cold water on my face. I looked at my reflection in the toothpaste spittled covered mirror and wondered how such a majestic creature as myself could end up in such a time and place. In that moment of self-indulgent, ego-riddled bliss, it got me a-thinking about perception and, in turn, how beer is perceived. Listen, I'm a single-minded, middle-aged dude packing a few more pounds than should be allowed who's obsessed with beer, my dogs, and run on paragraphs. So in the traditional sense of appeal, I'm not hot shit. But if by the grace of Buddha, I just automatically said God, that healthy dose of Benzedrine from the night before has worn off enough for me to actually focus on my image. When I look in that mirror every morning, I wake up, hot damn, do I see no other than king shit of fuck mountain. And I kind of feel some breweries and beer drinkers look through that same damn mirror. I see tons of newbie breweries holding bottle can releases who are just several beers deep into their portfolios, going to links to drum up hype through spectacle without having the history to warrant it. Or just plain flat out generating exclusivity through manufactured rarity. All the while hearing chirps and blurbs from beer folk about the coolest and latest release from Brewery X that needs to be attended, even though most of these folks have zero experience with Brewery X or the beers. Conversely, you have a ton of breweries, you know, the Flying Dogs, Otter Creeks, Long Trails, etc. of the world, who those same chirping and blurbing beer folks outwardly ignore or even snub because these lesser breweries are readily available to have been relegated to the mix of six sections of the world, even though a lot of the breweries have been making concerted efforts to bring more and more interesting and impactful offerings to the world. So, my question is, how much do you pay attention Or how much do you believe perception plays in the life path of breweries and beer, especially at their formative years?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep during the first part of that.
It seems like a lot of the new smaller breweries use perception manipulation to try to grow their brand, while old school mixed six pack breweries, as much as they try, can't seem to shake that moniker of being a middle of the road brewery.
There's no right way to run a brewery these days, and I think that everybody is trying to figure it out. Just from the amount that I travel and the amount of brewers, you guys will probably have a different perspective, but for the amount that I travel and the amount that I'm talking to brewers, if you're very small, you're very big, you're somewhere in the middle, you are trying to figure yourself out right now because this is a great time of uncertainty in the industry, I think, for a lot of people. And unless you have a very, very true vision, and that's a very, very hard thing to have. I mean, Brian, you have, you know, two different visions running concurrently to each other. It's a tough thing. So I don't know. I think anybody who tells you that they have the absolute answer to that is full of bullshit. But, you know, Augie, you have the absolute answer to this.
Of course I do.
Yeah. Playing Pokemon.
I will say this. I get what you're saying, and because you're Sizer Koza, you said it. No matter how much Justin tried to suck the energy out of that, you said it more creatively than the other 80 people that have said it to us. I'm going to take this to a point where I will remind everybody there's not enough breweries. It doesn't matter. Don't get mad that people like stuff you don't like. And don't get mad that people overreact to stuff you overreact to, right? It's that you can make every metaphor in the world, right? We all knew that asshole that had an album that you'd never heard of and stopped liking them the minute they pressed it. There's all kinds of way to make yourself feel special in your hobbies, and that happens everywhere. But if you look at craft brewing in America in general, it's figuring out what it's going to be every day, and it has been for 40 years now. And it's still going on. We've just passed the level of breweries we had pre-prohibition, and we have a couple extra 100 million people in the nation. We're nowhere near saturation. We're nowhere near troubles. Some of the guys that did it well enough long enough have moved on, and they've sold out to guys like Heineken, and those people are busy eviscerating those brands with fruit juice additives. And that's fine, right? There's a life cycle for everything, But if you hate the little guy that other people are psyched about, be glad there's no line for the beer you like. And if you don't get what they're on about, fine, let them be, right? There's all kinds of indie rock bands that if you... I'm not geeky enough to truly dissect success and failure on a band level. But look, man, nobody in the world likes Taylor Swift or Kanye, and they're the best sellers in the fucking universe. And when my kids make me listen to them on the pop station on Sirius, I'm 100% okay with their music. But it's not something I seek out. I'm also not that douchebag that likes a band only 10 people are allowed to see at a time. So whatever, right? It's just take it all in stride. Just continue to be a positive energy in craft brewing and just keep liking what you're liking. And if you're mad that people don't get Otter Creek, go on a year where you only buy Otter Creek. If you're, you know what I mean? If you're 100% on board with, I don't know, whatever it is, right? It's Flying Fish. Just buy their beers, support them, and keep supporting them. And when you can advocate for them, do so, right? Like, you're going to be at a bar with some dude that's all wicked turgid about a turbid beer. And just wait till he's got three in him and he's willing to listen and say, hey, try this. Tell me what you think of it.
But do you guys think that small breweries use perception manipulation to try and grow their brand? And do you think it's hard for an old school brewery like Otter Creek or Long Trail to shake?
But that's the tyranny of growth. Like, here's the thing, right? Like, those small bands aren't good. They're just hard to get. These small breweries are hard to get. And there is a cachet to that, right? Like, I very much work against it with us. But you can become famous for being tough to get. You can put your brewery 2.5 hours from the closest road and make people drive there, and it's going to add some dynamic to your thing. But part of that is just human nature of, when you travel for something, it's better, right? You know why you have all the best wines and you don't get a hangover on vacation? Because your vacation matters to you. You need it to be better or you've wasted your vacation. That's just the human condition, and there's no reason to begrudge that.
At the same time, though, I will say that since we're talking about music, there is a certain comfort that comes with the oldies station, with here in New York of 101.1 and CBS FM. of songs that you know and songs that no matter when you turn it on, you're going to know what those songs are. And that's sort of a good comfort as well. And so going back now and again, it's not saying you have to listen to that station all the time, but going back, you're going to find something familiar and probably find something that has some sort of memory or some sort of spark for you.
As long as they're your oldies, right? If you're 28 right now, Pearl Jam is your oldies, and they're not on CBS yet.
If you're 28,
yet.
Though, you're listening to what your parents were listening to in the car.
But what I'm saying is there's a different...
That's that radio station.
Like,
well.
Right now, Sirius is doing Yacht Rock, which is Channel 18 on Sirius, and it's really just soft rock. They don't actually comprehend what Yacht Rock is.
Christopher Cross is the epitome of...
No. Messina and... Messina and...
Christopher Cross.
No, Loggins and Messina is the definitive yacht rock.
Yeah,
I think Loggins and Messina.
I think what a lot of people are kind of losing sight of is that, you know, it wasn't all these big boat beers when you first started. No,
hey,
not boat
hey,
beers, but
hey,
these whales.
Boat beer's the greatest beer in the world. Don't you dare.
Chose my words wrongly, but when you started drinking beer,
you weren't
drinking these nice beers that we're drinking. Now, you were probably drinking something pretty cheap and pretty crappy. And that's when drinking beer was all about fun. You were with your buddies. You were probably underage. You might have been tailgating. You were playing beer pong. You were having a great time. And as our palates evolve and as the beer available to us evolves, you know, that our mentality has shifted a little bit. But you don't want to become a snob. It still should be fun. It's still beer. So what's 100%. Fun for me to brew, what's fun for me to label, what's fun for me to, you know, come up with this artwork or whatever... It might not be a gimmick. That might just be, you know, the fact that I'm putting in 120 hours a week, and I really love coming up with funny, crazy names. It's not meant to be a marketing gimmick. You know, it's meant to be fun at the end of the day for me as the brewer, the brewery owner. And if you like it, I really hope you do like it. It's I don't put out a bad beer, I don't think. I try and put out a beer that everyone will enjoy, and some people might like it, some people might hate it. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do with at least Departed Souls is make sure we have a beer for everybody. And, yeah, we want that beer to be available in cans so that whoever you are, you can bring it home with you and enjoy it.
And where can people find you online?
DepartedSouls.com.
S-O-L-E-S.
And Facebook.com/DepartedSoulsBrewery.
Oh, hey, Augie.
Yeah.
Augie just
caught a peek at you guys.
No, it was a Staryu. And I didn't catch it. It broke out. We have at Steal This Beer on Twitter and Instagram. We are /Steal This Beer on Facebook. We are Steal This Beer on Untappd. We have a website that is www.stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com. Sorry, that's our email. www.stealthisbeer.com. And our email is stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com. And you should tell us what you think, just like Sizer. But here's what I'll point out to you before we sign off, Sizer.
All right. I was just saying this is a lot of fun. We should do this at least once a week.
We should try. But I think the whole world would like or says or pays lip service to wanting a less douchey beer world. And just as much as it's douchey to cover the beer you don't know because you think it'll play the notes you want it to play, is hating guys for seeing things so simplistically, right? Just let's just stop complaining about everybody and find the beers you like. And if you can't find a beer you like, find somebody that has it and trade with them.
Yeah, Rodney King.
And please don't trade my beers. Anyway, get at us. Let us know what you think.
Cheers.
Cheers.